We're continuing the series of shiurim on the topic of simcha. This shiur is going to be based, we've moved into the second half of Likutei Moran in the previous shiur, and now this shiur's first part is going to be based on chapter 5 in the second half of Likutei Moran. This chapter is entitled Tiku Emuna, and this is one of the largest, most complex shiurim in the entire Likutei Moran. In the second half of Likutei Moran, which is the shiurim that Rabbi Nachman gave during the latter part of his life, among the first 8 chapters, chapter 1, 5, and 3, are the Rosh Hashanah shiurim that Rabbi Nachman gave the last 3 years of his life. The one that we're addressing now, Tiku Emuna, is, I think, the longest and covers many topics with tremendous depth and clarity. One of the topics that's touched on in this chapter, that's discussed in this chapter, is the topic of dreams. We know the Gemara mentions that dreams can be of one of two types. The Gemara refers to it as chaloim al yedei malach or chalom al yedei shed. A person can receive a dream from a place of holiness. We know there are many stories in our Torah and our tradition about tzaddikim and all kinds of people who saw very important things in their dreams, where the dreams played a very important role in their life. And at the same time, we know that there is this concept of chaloyim al yedei shed. There are terrible dreams that people have, which the halacha says, the Gemara says, and the halacha says, there are certain dreams that require a person to fast in order to negate the negative effects of the dream. And the fast, that's referred to as a tainus cholam, is among the strictest, the most severe type of fasts that exist. We're not going to go into the full detail and the complexity of what's discussed here. I just want to try to touch on the important points related to our topic, simcha. And in order to do this, we'll have a little bit of introduction, a little bit of clarity, and then we'll get to the punchline. There's a term that's used many times in Rabbi Nachman's Sforim and in many other Sforim called medame. The term medame requires about 100 words in the English language to define it properly. We're going to pick one of them. One of the definitions of medame is it's a combination of good and bad. It's a mix of good and bad, like twilight, which is in between light and darkness. This world that we are in, Olam Hazeh, this Olam Ha'asiya, in general is referred to as a place of medame. Because whereas the other worlds, the worlds of the angels and the other worlds, there is no good and bad. It's just good. It's just the will of Hashem. It's in this world that we're functioning in that you have both good and bad. You have bechira, free choice. If we speak about the nighttime specifically, when we talk about day versus night, day is usually referred to as a time of good, a time of kindness of Hashem. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Lehagid baboiker chazdecho, that in the morning we speak about the kindness of Hashem, the sun rising, the light, people that are sick, lo aleinu. Usually in the morning they're feeling a little bit better. As the day starts leaving, the sickness is mizgaber because of the fact that daytime represents a time of chesed, kindness. Nighttime is more a time of midas hadin, judgment, sitra achra, klipos. That's why during the nighttime there's all kinds of laws of a person being careful not to go out at night alone, not to go to dark places, different laws pertaining to that, primarily referring to the first half of the night, especially. Al pi Kabbalah, based on Kabbalistic teachings, from midnight on, from Chatzos and on, is when the Midas Hadin starts softening. But for our topic, on a general level, nighttime is a time of, if this world is referred to as medame, then nighttime is super medame. Because as the Gemara told us, we know at night is when a person's brain, when a person goes to sleep, is when the majority, the vast majority of their sechel shuts down. And they're only left with a little bit, a very small amount of their sechel, which is referred to as medame. Again, it's the koach hadimyon, it's fantasy. That's why people in their dreams at night very often see things that are not real, that are fantasy in a positive or negative sense. And this is where we have the Gemara mentioning these two directions that a dream can take. It can be holy or unholy. And we know, in fact, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about one of the most severe types of tumah, impurity, which is an emission, an accidental emission that takes place during the night specifically. It's called mikrei lailo. It's something that takes place during the night when a person is asleep. When this medame is strongest, the negative aspects of this medame can be strongest, and that's when a person can be most vulnerable to that type of an impurity or a negative type of force. In this chapter, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about the things that affect a dream, a person's dream. One of them is the moichin, the brain of a person. A person who uses their brain correctly throughout the day, they're studying Torah, they're thinking proper thoughts, avoiding thinking any improper thoughts. That's one of the things that contributes in a very major way that even at night, even when the person goes to sleep, when they're weakest in a sense mentally, and there's a choice of which type of dream is going to come their way, the choice is going to be the proper one. It's going to be this chaloim al yidei malach. That's one of the things that contributes in a major way. What a person's moichin, a person's thinking throughout the day or in general. Another major factor that contributes is what a person eats and how a person eats. This is something that Rabbeinu Zal discusses in several chapters in Likutei Moran. We know that people eat, and generally, eating is supposed to be and assumed to be something that gives a person strength. People eat, people are supposed to eat to live, to keep alive, number one. We know if a person doesn't eat or drink for a certain length of time, they die. One of the things that connects, that attaches the body and the soul is eating. And here, when it comes, we're told that we know that there are certain foods that make a person tired and that cloud the person's brain. Where a person, for example, a person drinks intoxicating beverages, that messes up their power of thinking. Their power of thinking is harmed by that kind of food or that kind of drink, chas v'shalom. On the other hand, the Gemara mentions a rabbi that was once asked a difficult question in Torah, and his answer was, I can't answer this question right now because I haven't eaten bisra datura. I haven't eaten beef. Tomorrow, come back to me after I've eaten beef, and I'll be able to respond to this question. So we see in the Torah many examples of where food plays an important role in the thinking of a person, and in our context, especially in the dreams that a person has. We know that the Shulchan Aruch speaks about a person avoiding eating certain foods at night before they're going to go to sleep, fatty meats, drinking too much. And some of this advice is related to what we're speaking about. In order for the person to have a healthy sleep and not to be affected in a negative way by wrong type of dreams. Rabbeinu Zal explains that when Hashem sends a flow of Shefa from heaven, Shefa means sustenance in any type of form, whether it's spiritual or physical sustenance. When this Shefa comes down, before it reaches us, it passes through certain other areas. it passes through an area where there are angels, and then it also passes through an area where there are these shadim. Shadim, the Gemara describes as half angel, half human, usually referred to in a negative context. Shadim are usually looking to do harm to human beings. The Gemara tells us that these shadim were created during the 6 days of creation, right before the creation was completed, and they were sort of half finished. They were unfinished. And as a result of that, there's a negative aspect to them, and there's also an aspect of them wanting specifically to do harm to human beings, as we find in many occasions in the Torah. So Rabbeinu Zal tells us that when Hashem sends a flow of shefa, sustenance from heaven, before it reaches us, it passes through an area of angels, and it also passes through an area of the shadim. Lahavdil, we know that if a person throws a ball or throws anything, and that item that you're throwing has to pass through an area of turbulence, if you want that item that you're throwing, that projectile, to reach its destination, depending on how much force you throw it with, if it's thrown with more force, then even if somebody tries to disturb it along the way, if it's been thrown in a very powerful way, that interruption will not be able to block it or hold it back, number one, from getting to its proper destination. And while it's going through the turbulent area or that negative area, it's going to be moving quickly enough, that negative area will not be able to do too much harm to it. Lahavdil, in our situation, Rabbeinu Zal tells us that when sustenance comes down from heaven, it passes through this area of the angels, and then it has to pass through this area of the shadim. Now, these shadim are a negative force. Why does Hashem make it pass through there? The answer is, this is part of the Bechira. This is part of the Medame in this world. That there has to be an existence of good and bad, of light and darkness. And even the Shefa that we receive has to go through both of those places. An area of Malach, angel, which is holy, which is positive. An area of Shadim, which is negative. Rabbeinu Zal says that to the degree that we give chizuk, to the degree that we strengthen the angels, we human beings have the ability to be machazek, the malochim, the stronger they are, then when this shefa of Hashem comes down and comes into their area, they push it. They give it a shove, a very powerful shove, that ensures that even when that shefa is passing through the area of the shadim are only able to draw from it a certain minimum. A minimum that they need to be able to exist, but not to have major power and strength to be able to harm the human beings, to be able to harm the Jews. And according to the chizuk of these malachim, according to how much we strengthen, we give strength to these angels, that gives them the power to shove that shefa down in a strong way, so that even when it's passing through the area of the shadim, it won't be harmed. The shadim will only be able to take the minimum that they're allowed to, that they're supposed to take, in order for them to be able to exist, but not to be able to harm that shefa, that sustenance that's being sent down to the Jewish people. This is something that's discussed in Sifrei Kabbalah, in Sifrei Chassidus. Rabbeinu Zal gives us the psukim and all the support to show exactly how and why this operates. And again, for more detail, you need to look into chapter 5 in Likutei Moran Tanina, paragraph 10, where this is elaborated on. What do we do? What can we do as human beings to be mechazek these malochim, to strengthen these angels that play a role? We know the Gemara speaks about this. The Gemara says when a Jew is mispalel to Hashem, the tefillos are brought up to Hashem through angels. There are angels that bring the tefillah before the Kisei HaKavod to Hashem, etc., or that pass it from one to the other to go up. When the Shefa comes down, the Gemara makes a statement that there isn't a blade of grass that grows. There isn't a drop of vegetation that grows without an angel striking it and giving it instruction to grow. So we see that these malachim play a certain important role in things from earth, going up when they have to go up and reaching their proper destination, and also, for our context, in things that Hashem is sending down to us, in it being able to come down in a positive, healthy way. Rabbi Nazal says that what we can do to be mechazek these malachim is simcha. When a Jew is happy, there's a pasuk, lev someach yetiv ponim. A heart filled with joy improves, strengthens the ponim. And the term ponim is a term that's used to refer to angels. There are many psukim. Rabbi Nazal quotes the pasuk, umalach ponov hoishiyam, where the angels are referred to as ponim. We know one of the angels the Gemara refers to, the Malach Memtes, who is called Matat Sar HaPonim. This term ponim is a term that's used in conjunction with angels many times. So Rabbi Nazal tells us that this item of this ingredient called simcha, when a Jew is happy, this is actually what strengthens. This is the gasoline that these malachim need to give them the strength that any shefa that passes through their hands, they're able to make it zoom down to us quickly and in a powerful way, so that even though it has to pass through an area of the shadim, they will not be able to harm it in any way, to have any negative effects on it. For example, the dream. The dreams that come to a person, which the Gemara says are coming via malach, via shade, the stronger, the more we strengthen the malach, the less effect that the shadim can have on this item. This is why the Gemara tells us, and the halacha tells us, that if a Jew, chas v'shalom, has a terrible dream, one of the things that we can do to correct it, we mentioned, is fasting, a tainus chaloim. What does fasting have to do with simcha? The pasuk says in Tehillim, Samchenu kimois inisonu. Hashem, give us joy and happiness like our days of inui, of suffering, of fasting. The simcha is a parallel force to tainus. And Rabbi Nazal discusses this in a few chapters in Likutei Moran, that when a person fasts, they lessen the gashmius. When you lessen the gashmius, the ruchnius goes up. And we know that one of the greatest displays of ruchnius is simcha, is happiness. So tainus and simcha are used together many times in the Torah. The Gemara says, what if for whatever reason a person can't fast for this type of dream? The Gemara says the solution is to have a few people get together and be meitiv the chaloim. They convert the dream to something positive. And the Gemara says what they say to the person is, Lech echol besimcho lachmecho. Go eat your food with simcha, with happiness. Again, because the right type, the proper type of achila, which is with simcha, we know the Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch says, that a person should not eat when a person is angry, when a person is depressed, because then the food can have negative effects. So achila digdusha, meichel, eating, which is one of the things that contributes to the dream, is dependent on simcha. Rabbi Nazal brings the fact that the word ma'achol is the letters malach, the same letters as the word malach. So that again, one of the items that strengthens this malach is what a person eats. And regarding eating, one of the things that guarantees that the food will have a proper effect is the simcha with which a person eats. This is why, for example, on Shabbos, it's a mitzvah to eat on happy occasions, because when a person is happy, that's when the food will have a tremendous positive effect on the person. So Rabbein Azal says that one of the important factors to ensure a person of having the right kind of dream, a healthy dream, chalom ayidei malach, is simcha, happiness. Rabbein Azal also tells us, it's interesting that this particular shir is being given towards, we just passed the holiday of Purim, and we're just entering into the second half of Adar, moving towards Nisan, the month of Nisan. Rabbein Azal says, out of all the months of the month of the year where we have the ability to strengthen the malach the most is the month of Nisan. The Gemara tells us that there are four Rosh Hashanahs during the year. One of the Rosh Hashanahs is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is called Rosh Hashanah Lemalachim. It's the Rosh Hashanah for appointing rulers. And Rabbein Azal says that it's not just kings that are appointed on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, on this Rosh Hashanah Lemalachim, but it's also the time when Hashem distributes authority, Hismanus, to the angels in heaven also. We know that angels are appointed over certain things. There's an angel that's appointed over Refuah, the Malach Refoel. There's an angel that's appointed over other causes, Gavriel, Givura. So Rabbein Azal tells us these angels are an aspect of, they're called Malachim, and they are also Malachim in a certain sense. They are authorities. They have a certain kingdom. They have a certain power. Their kingdom is established on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And that's when Hashem renews. Even if an angel is not being created or destroyed, their power is renewed during this month of Nisan. And this is the time when these Malachim experience Simcha. Because we know that Nisan, the Gemara says, Nisan is the month when the Jews were taken out of Golus. Benisan Nigalu. Ubenisan Asidan Ligoil. Nisan is also the month when the Geula, the final redemption, is destined to take place. We know that the Golus, the fact that the Jews went down to Egypt, the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that one of the main reasons why that happened was because of the fact that Adam HaRishon, after eating from the Eitz Hadas, which introduced death into the world and all kinds of other terrible things, Adam HaRishon decided to take upon himself an abstention, to abstain from any contact with his wife for a period of 130 years. The Gemara mentions this in Erevin, and the Medrash mentions this. And the Gemara tells us that during this time that he abstained, that he separated himself from his wife, there was contact with Shadim. He was in a sense vulnerable and susceptible to having contact with these Shadim. And one of the main reasons why the Jews went down to Mitzrayim and went through those 210 years of slavery in Mitzrayim was to rectify the negative things that happened between Adam HaRishon and these Shadim during that period of those 130 years. So that Nisan, being the month when the Jews went out of Mitzrayim, went out of Golus, when we completed the tikkun of this item, this represents, Nisan represents a time of the defeat of these Shadim, weakening their power and strengthening the power of the Malachim. Rabbein Azal says that a Jew has the ability throughout the entire year to draw this power of Nisan through Simcha. If a Jew is happy, we know that the Arizal tells us that each one of the 12 months is represented by a different combination of Hashem's name. Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is comprised of four letters, two of them are the same, two Heys. You can format that in 12 different ways. These are called the Yud-based Sirufei Havaya. For example, Yud Kei Vav Kei is one combination, Yud Vav Hey Hey, Yud Hey, hey, Vav, there are 12 different combinations which correspond to the 12 different months of the year. And the Arizal shows that the direct relationship between each one of these connections and the actual months. The Meforshim tell us, the Bnei Yisachar points out, that when a Jew is davening Shmon Esrei on Rosh Chodesh, and when he's saying the conclusion of the bracha, Mechadesh Chodoshim, when he says Hashem's name, the Baruch Ato Hashem, Mechadesh Chodoshim, he's supposed to have in mind the combination of Hashem's name that's associated with that particular month. And in many of the Siddurim, many Siddurim have this printed. Many of them have it right after the Musaf Shmon Esrei of Rosh Chodesh. They have a page where they list these 12 combinations, and they list the psukim in the Torah that are associated with these combinations. The month of Nisan being the first one of the 12 months, the combination for Nisan is the standard, the basic one, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei, which makes up the first letters of Yismachu Hashamayim V'Sogel Ha'aretz. This pasuk that describes joy in the entire creation, heaven and earth, this is the pasuk that's associated with the month of Nisan. It's this combination, this Yud Kei Vav Kei, because it reflects the Geula, the concept of the Jews going out of Golus. Golus, exile, is a concept of unhappiness, depression, slavery, avdus. The 6 days of the week we mentioned in the previous year are called Sheshes Yomim Tavoid, a concept of avoida, when it's a struggle for a person to be happy. Shabbos is referred to as freedom. We're free. Don't have to go to work. Don't have to go to school for the kids. That freedom brings joy, brings happiness. And it's this month of Nisan, which is the month of Geula, when the Jews succeeded in going out of that exile, which was primarily to correct this pigam with the Shedim. And we said Nisan is this month of joy and happiness, this Cherus. Rabbeinu Zal says that throughout the year, if a person is zoichet to be happy, they're tapping into, they're connecting to that special koyach of Nisan, which is the month in which we have the ability to strengthen these malachim the most, which helps a person be zoichet to this chaloyim al yidei malach instead of this chaloyim al yidei shed. This is something that's not that simple or easy. Person hearing it for the first time, possibly it's a little difficult to grasp. But again, if you review it, and especially if you have an opportunity to look inside the Likutei Moran for more detail, person will be able to understand this well. For our purposes, this is another example where Rabbeinu Zal shows the incredible importance of this mitzvah to be happy, and how it plays a major role in determining what type of dream a person will have at night. And even if chas v'shalom lo aleinu, a person had the wrong type of dream, the tikkun for it, which the Gemara and the Halacha prescribe, which is either fasting or having people recite certain psukim to them, both the fasting and the psukim revolve around this inyan of simcha. The next chapter in Likutei Moran that touches on this topic is chapter 6, Torah Vov, and Likutei Moran Tanina. Here, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about something that the medical field also speaks about, but Rabbeinu Zal puts it in an incredible, important light. Rabbeinu Zal says, by a Jew experiencing a good sweat, meaning what's called a good sweat, a sweat which comes by effort expended in doing a mitzvah, person's building a sukkah, and they're sweating, schlepping heavy boards upstairs or downstairs, and the schach and all the, and the sun is blazing down upon them, or a person is baking matzahs for Pesach, and they're in the hot, they're in front of a hot oven, or all the different examples where a person is sweating, actually sweating, for a dover shebikdusha, for a mitzvah. Rabbeinu Zal says this will lead to simcha. This is one of the things that can help a person be happy. We know the Torah speaks about v'samachta b'chagecha, the examples we gave, that especially when it comes to holidays, the shopping, the cooking, all the different efforts that are involved, that are related to preparing for a chag, this which refers to Yom Tov. Yom Tov means holiday, and Yom Tov also means any day that's good, a day that has good in it, which means a day that has mitzvah in it, a day that has Torah in it. And Rabbeinu Zal now goes on to explain how this works. Happiness and sadness or depression are directly related to the blood inside the person. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the spleen, which is called the tchoil, we know that in biology, a person studies biology, they're taught that the spleen is that part of the body where any red blood cells in the body that are damaged or that are not good, they go to the spleen either to be fixed or to be destroyed. So that we know that in our body we have this blood upon which our life depends on. We know if a person, chas v'shalom, loses a certain quantity of blood, it can kill the person. And how the blood flows throughout the body and what's in the blood, the content of the blood, all affects tremendously the health of the person in a positive way, in a negative way. So the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that atzvus, depression, comes from the spleen. If the spleen is damaged in any way, if it's working improperly in any way, where the redness of the blood, we know red always represents Midas Hadin, Edoim, Sitrachra, the other side. If the redness is too strong, it's not being regulated properly, it's not being controlled properly, then that leads, meaning that the blood is spoiled. There's achiras hadamim, there's a spoilage in the blood. That leads to weakness, that weakens the person, and that also leads a person, chas v'shalom, into depression, sadness. Whereas, when the spleen is functioning correctly, when it's operating correctly, and the blood in the body is healthy, it's healthy and it's flowing properly, then the fact that the spleen is receiving these blood cells is a positive thing. It's fixing them, it repairs them, it's making sure that everything is functioning in a good way. However, Rabbeinu Zal says that when a person, chas v'shalom, is experiencing weakness, heaviness, tiredness, sadness, depression, all of these, the refuah, one of the things that can cure the person is a sweat. Because when a person sweats, we know again, the way the medical field explains it, there's poisons, there's toxins in the body, which when they build up to a certain level can harm the person. One of the ways that they're released is when the body gets heated up through exercise by expending extra energy, the pores, the openings in the skin open up, and they release those poisonous toxins in the form of sweat. And when that sweat comes out, that poison, in a sense, is leaving the body. It has a tremendous cleansing effect physically. And Rabbeinu Zal tells us also on a spiritual level. That poison, that's a negative force in the body that pulls a person down, that makes a person weak, heavy, tired, sad, and can chas v'shalom put a person in bed, could put a person into a sick bed. Whereas when a person experiences this kind of sweat, which releases these poisons, Rabbeinu Zal says, the result is simcha. The result is happiness. Now we know, lahavdil, people that exercise, people that like to exercise, to run, jog, do other kind of exercise, which builds up a sweat, and then they take a cold shower, any kind of shower, which washes away that sweat. Afterwards, the person comes out, I'm a new person. I feel totally different. Before I went into the workout, I was schleppy down. Now I feel totally rejuvenated on a physical level. Rabbeinu Zal is telling us that besides the physical refuah that this affects, it also affects a person in a major way spiritually. When a person sweats for Kedusha, either while involved in doing any type of mitzvah, or Torah or any kind of effort of Kedusha, or if a person does this, any kind of exercise, and their purpose is to have strength, to have, then this will definitely lead to simcha. And Rabbeinu Zal says that the Hebrew word zeya, which means sweat, makes up the first letters of the pasuk, ze hayoim oso Hashem. This day Hashem has created, nogila v'nismecha boi, in which we will rejoice and experience tremendous happiness. And this pasuk is a pasuk that we say in Hallel, which we say on holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. So Rabbeinu Zal says, again, especially when a person is zoicha to sweat in preparation of Shabbos or in observing Shabbos or Yontif or any day at all which has some of this toiv in it, Rabbeinu Zal says that this will lead to a simcha and this will lead to a refuah. And Rabbeinu Zal says, this is why we know many times when a person has a fever, chas v'shalom, where the body temperature is high, person's dehydrated, they tell them to drink a lot, let's say, and very often they'll tell the person to put on covers, to cover themselves with multiple covers, and then when the person breaks into a sweat, and the person, the sheets are soaked and everything, the person thinks, I'm getting close to the end, who knows what's happening, they contact their doctor, and they tell them, no, that's a sign, as soon as that sweat breaks, that's a sign that you're getting better. The fever breaks, and the person, that's the refuah for the person. So Rabbeinu Zal says, on a ruchni level also, this is incredible, important thing. Anytime a person has an opportunity to do a mitzvah with major physical, that involves physical effort, walking, running, the Gemara speaks about the rabbis of the Gemara running to go to shul. And even on Shabbos, rushing, walking quickly, a person sweating for the sake of a mitzvah, Rabbeinu Zal says that this is a refuah. It's both a refuah physically, and this will also bring a person's simcha of kedusha, which is one of the most important ingredients in doing mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. The next chapter that we're going to deal with is Torah Yud, in the second half of Likutei Moran, which we're only going to introduce now, lightly, and we'll go into it more in the next shiur. The opening statement in this chapter on Likutei Moran is one of the most important statements in the ideology of Rabbi Nachman, in Rabbeinu Zal Sforim. Rabbeinu Zal begins, Mashe ha'olam rechoikim me'Hashem Yisborach. The fact that majority of people are far from Hashem, ve'einon miskar ve'meilov yisborach, and they don't get close to Hashem, hurak machmas she'ein lohem yishuv adas, is only because they don't really have an opportunity to think clearly, to look at their own situation and analyze what's going on in their lives and think it through in a clear manner. Ve'einam meyashvim atzmam. They don't really afford themselves this privilege, this time, to have time alone to think over carefully, to review, what am I doing? What have I done? What am I doing? What am I going to do? Where am I headed? And Rabbeinu Zal says, Vo'ikr, the most important thing for a Jew is lehishtadel, to make every effort, liyashev atzmoy heitev, to do this really well, to really think over their lives in a very careful way. Ma hatachlis mikol ataivois umikol inyon olam hazeh. What's the purpose? What's going to remain from all the physical desires? What's going to remain from all the food, all the entertainment, all the olam hazeh, all the things of the physical, of the materialistic world that the Yetzer Hara has me wrapped up in? What's going to remain from all of that? Hein taivos hanechnoses leguf, whether it's the desires for things that a person takes into their body, such as food, drink, other desires, hein taivois shechutz leguf, or the materialistic desires that don't even enter the body, like kavod, for example, respect, the desire that people have to earn respect of people around them, etc. And Rabbi Nizal says that if a Jew will allow himself this privilege to spend the proper amount of time per day in this Yishuv Hadas, being able to really slam on the brakes and hit the stop button and unplug them, take themselves off the treadmill that living in this world feels like. If a person is able to get off that treadmill and think carefully a little bit, look at themselves honestly, and look at where they're headed and what they're doing, Rabbi Nizal says, V'oz bevadai yoshuv el Hashem. A person who will do this will definitely correct everything that's wrong in their life, and the person will be zeuche to come close to Hashem. This is one of the most important statements in the entire Likut Imran, in the entire teachings of Rabbi Nizal. And the next paragraph, Rabbi Nizal is going to go on to show us, and this is what we're going to address in the next shir, to show us how what makes it impossible for a person to do this is when a person is unhappy or depressed, they can't have Yishuv Hadas. When a person is in a happy frame of mind, they can have this kind of Yishuv Hadas that's needed to help a person really look honestly at where they are, where they're going, and be able to improve and correct everything and anything in our lives that needs improvement and correcting. Mirza Shem will take this up in more detail in the next shiur.